Welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio 101.5 FM. Hey, you know who I am? I'm Jim Samaria.
And I am Mark Plotnick, Jim's co-host. For 1 hour each week, we will enlighten and entertain our listeners with music and backstories from the greatest era for rock and roll, the 1950s through the early 1980s, with occasional detours elsewhere.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which is available at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum gift shop in Joliet, as well as on Amazon. Our book features my photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day, with words by the piano-playing rock historian, the dashing Mark Plotnick.
My wife paid you to say that, right?
Yes, she did. $5.
Okay, that's it?
That's it.
Oh, boy. But seriously, we are thrilled to have a very special guest in the studio today. Mr. Ron Romero is founder and president of the new Illinois Rock and Roll Museum in downtown Joliet. And at long last, the museum will hold its first annual Hall of Fame induction ceremony on August 31st. Throughout our show, Ron will tell us more about this anticipated event and the museum itself.
We are also honored that the museum chose two of my photographs, one of Buddy Guy, one of Jim Peterick of the Ides of March, for its ground floor window graphics. We also helped fund the production and installation of these window treatments.
Yeah, and what Ron and his team have accomplished to renovate a once decrepit building is nothing short of remarkable. When completed, it will be a must-see attraction for music lovers living in and visiting Illinois. The museum guests will be surprised at the number of pioneering artists, bands, radio personalities, and recording industry professionals with ties to our state.
I think you and I have talked enough, Mark.
Yes,
especially,
we have.
Especially you. Let's let Ron Romero talk about the museum and the first annual Illinois Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremonies.
Yes, you are right, Jim. So, without further ado, let's welcome Mr. Ron Romero to the studio.
Hi, guys. How are you? It's good to see you both.
Good to see you again, Ron. Well, we're going to start off right away. And, Ron, tell us a little bit about the various Hall of Fame induction categories and the voting process.
So one thing to make clear is that despite the name being Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66, it encompasses all sorts of music. It's not just rock and roll. It's blues, it's gospel, it's country, it's anything you can think of. So there's a lot of different genres that we cross. It's a pretty long process. We put it out to the general public to make their nominations. Last year there were thousands of nominations. It comes to a committee to make sure that the nominations are eligible. Then it goes to a ballot. And then the ballot is voted upon by our charter members. We now have about 500 charter members from 25 different states. And they're the folks who make the final decision of who's going to be inducted that year.
Is there a section for photographers?
There will be after today, yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. I vote for me.
One nomination. There you go.
There you go.
And
you're
a member, too, aren't you? So you get to vote for yourself.
Oh, wow, that's good. Tell us about this year's inductees. Who do you have going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
We've got some greats. Chicago, Cheap Trick, Ides of March, Buddy Guy, Muddy Waters, REO Speedwagon, Buckingham's. We have WLS AM, we have Dick Biondi, and we have Larry Lujack.
Yeah, what a bunch of great people. It's I'm really excited for the event that's going to happen at the end of the month. Well, what we're doing today is Ron is going to be our guest DJ. And he's going to pick seven songs that really likes for all the inductees. So the first song is going to be who, Ron?
It's going to be REO Speedwagon with Take It on the Run.
Take It on the Run by REO is from their 1980 best-selling album, High Infidelity. It was written by their great guitarist, Gary Richrath, and it's sung by Chicago's own Kevin Cronin. The rest of the band members are the pride of Champaign, Illinois. Take It on the Run by REO.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. They say you got a boyfriend. You're up late every weekend. They're talking about you and it's bringing me down. But I know the neighborhood. And talk is cheap when the story is good. And the tales grow taller on down the line. But I'm telling you, babe, that I don't think it's true, babe. And even if it is, keep this in mind. You take it on the run, baby. If that's the way you want it, baby. And I don't want you around.
on your bedroom eyes. You say you're coming home, but you won't say when. But I can feel it coming. If you leave tonight, keep running. And you need never look back again. You take it on the run, baby. If that's the way you want it, baby.
Cool tidbit about the REO Speedwagon is they contacted us some time ago. They had the multi-platinum award for High Infidelity, their best-selling album. It was in the Hard Rock Casino in Las Vegas. And they took it from there, and they called us up, and they said, it's coming your way. So Whoa. We actually have possession of that at the museum now.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Cool.
And we're charging $20 a head to come see that. Just kidding.
Just to touch it.
Just
okay.
to touch it.
Ron, how did the idea for the museum originate, and how did you end up choosing Joliet as a site?
Well, there's a few things that kind of made it happen. One being, naturally, Cleveland, what they're doing with their Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, to honor and preserve all that music, it's a great way to do that. But then certainly things like Rick Nielsen had his Rick's Picks exhibit in Rockford. The day that I was there, there was a group from Japan that had flown in and taken a bus from the airport and came there. So, you know, there's 50, 60 people that flew all that way just to see that exhibit. And I thought, what do we do if we put all the good bands from Illinois and not just Cheap Trick? And then finally, things like Nashville. They're quite a well-oiled machine when it comes to tourism. So we knew that. And Joliet, it fluctuates between the third and fourth largest city in the state of Illinois. And the downtown area was the place that, you know, they held their Christmas parades and had Sears and awards and all that good stuff. And eventually it kind of fell to the wayside. And we're hoping that this is going to create an economic engine for downtown
right.
and bring tourism to them.
Isn't the site of the museum next to the Joliet Historical Museum
it is.
As well?
It is. We're right around a corner from the Joliet Area Historical Museum. We're across the street from the Forge. We're a block and a half away from the Rialto. When you think about Joliet, there's a lot of things to do, even the ballpark, now
right.
the prison tours. There's a lot of things to do there, and we're going to get that all organized for people to come and you know, make a few days out of it.
Good. Well, that leads me to my next question. How is the progress going with the museum and the dates for completion?
Well, dates for completion are still kind of up in the air. You know, like everybody else, we were slowed down a little bit by all the things that happened through the COVID virus. But I'm happy to report that so far there's been about $300,000 in donations to the building. We've had groups like the IBEW, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, come through and replace some of the infrastructure and the old wiring. We've had, you know, other people coming in building walls and painting and putting drywall. And we recently got a grant for some carpeting. So it's coming along. And we're getting great community support.
That's wonderful. As you guys know, my first rock and roll love is the blues. It started during the 1960s British blues boom. And from there, it's where I discovered American blues artists who inspired guys like Eric Clapton, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, John Mayall. I could go on. And among the greatest inspirations was McKinley Morganfield, a.k.a. Muddy Waters. So, Ron, I know Muddy passed away almost 40 years ago, but you surely have some thoughts about the man and his induction into the Illinois Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, I'll take something that one of his well-known writers, Willie Dixon, once said, which was, blues is the roots and the rust is the fruits. So, you know, when you think about the British invasion coming in and invading us with music, the funny part of that is they invaded us with a lot of our own music. The Beatles played a lot of American music that they redid from Little Richard and things like that. But you think that people like the Rolling Stones themselves, their name came from a song from Muddy Waters. So
you know how they got the name Rolling Stones?
From them, yeah.
Keith Richards was actually pressed to come up with a name for the band. And he looked down, and there was a Muddy Waters album in front of him. And the first thing he saw was Rolling Stone. And that's what he told the agent. And that's how they got their name, really, just
absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely, yeah. And, of course, they were such big fans that they traveled to Chess Records and wanted to meet there. There was a story about coming to meet Muddy Waters, which I later found out was kind of just folklore, that the Stones showed up and said, "We're here, can you introduce us to Muddy Waters?" when they came to Chess Records, and there was a guy painting the wall. And he goes, "Yeah, he's here." And he says, "Well, where is he at?" And he goes, "You're looking at him." So the story was that Muddy was painting the walls, make some extra spare cash like he needed to. You know, he's a blues star. But I later found out from family that was not true.
I heard that story.
Oh, really? I've never heard that story before. That's funny, though. It's a good story.
But, yeah, I got a chance to become friends with his younger son, Joe, who unfortunately passed away last year. And he told me, I asked him one time, what was it like growing up being Muddy Waters' son? And he said, "He was my dad, that's all. You know, one time somebody came to the door and I answered. I go, 'Dad, Eric's here. I'm going out to play.' He says, now looking back, it made, should have been more of an impact when he realized it was Eric Clapton that was at his door." So as a kid, you know, it's just his dad's, co-workers.
He had the greatest smile. In 1977, the whitest bluesman on the planet, and I'm talking about Johnny Winter, who was an albino, made an LP with his idol, Muddy Waters. The album's called Heart Again. It was critically acclaimed, and it won a Grammy. From this album, let's play the classic Mannish Boy, and be sure to listen to Johnny Winter's joyful hollers in the background.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything gonna be all right this morning.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when I was a young boy, at the age of 5, my mother said I was gonna be the greatest man alive. But now I'm a man, way past 21. I want you to believe me, baby. I have lots of fun. I'm a man. I spell him H-I-N. That rubber band man. Why? That means Mannish Boy.
your bone lovers, man. I'm a man. I'm a rolling stone. I'm a man. I'm a hoochie-coochie man. Sitting on the outside. Just me and my mate. You know I made the moon, honey. Come up 2 hours late. Wasn't that a man? Yeah! I spell him H-I-N. That rapper than man. Nobby! Whoa, child. Why? That mean manish boy. Man. The lion I shoot and will never miss. When I make love to a woman, she can't resist. I think I go down to old Kansas too. I'm gonna bring back my second cousin, that's little John the Conqueror. Setting out that line, I can make love to you, woman, in 5 minutes' time. Ain't that a man?
You are listening to the Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM and 24/7 on demand from anywhere in the world.
All right, back to you, Ron. Music labels can be very confusing. The Illinois Rock and Roll Museum is much more than just rock and roll. Can you tell us about some of the exhibits that people will be seeing when they go there?
Well, as I mentioned before, it's all types of music. So they'll see guitars, drums, lyrics, all sorts of different things. Our very first major exhibit is called Recorded History of Illinois Guitars, anything to do with Illinois guitars. So anything from any genre of music.
Yeah, I'm very excited to go see it when it's all done. There's something very special about the lower level of the museum. It's a different concept. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we're going to make that into our educational facility. We have rooms going in for lesson rooms where students can take one-on-one lessons on instruments, not just bass guitar, drums, keyboards, but also brass. We even have somebody going to be coming in and teaching bagpipe. Not that there's much rock and roll, Illinois rock and roll anyway, with bagpipes.
AC/DC did it.
There you go. Yeah. But then we also have performance venue on the other half of that lower level, too. Not only for small concerts, but we can also do recitals and such there, too.
Very cool. Well, our next song is going to be from a very, very popular band from the area. The song is Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? That Ron chose. It's another Hall of Fame inductee, and they took the name from our city, Chicago. But actually, they started out way long time ago when Walter Perezader started the band by recruiting fellow DePaul music students and some other guys that he knew. They started out as the Big Thing in 1967, then the CTA, Chicago Transit Authority. And then, because certain things were going on legally, they had to change their name to Chicago, which sounds better. So, Ron, as I said, chose the song, Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? It's from their 1969 debut album, Chicago Transit Authority.
Time was that was all. street one day. A pretty lady looked at me and said her diamond watch had stopped cold dead. And I said, does anybody really know what time it is?
Hey, Ron, so many cultural museums have advisory boards. Who's on the board, and what are their roles for the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum?
So we have an advisory board. They're actually ambassadors to what we're doing. They help us with interviews. They go out and help us with media and kind of stir interest, reach out to some of the other musicians and such. Bob Surratt from WGN Radio, formerly of WLS, of course, back in the day. Mitch Michaels from 95.9 The River. Lisa Fielding from WBBM Radio. And, of course, Jim Peterick, who's got a great history in music here in Illinois with both the Ides of March and, of course, of Survivor fame back in the day as well.
Well, and as everyone knows, Peterick was a member of the Ides of March, who are one of this year's Hall of Fame inductees. The band started out as a four-piece named the Shondells, and they began their rock and roll journey as students at Morton West High School in Berwyn. And their 1970 song Vehicle, which at the time was the fastest-selling single in Warner Brothers history. We're going to play Vehicle in a second, but please stay tuned for part two of the Classic Rock Show. We're here with Ron Romero of the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum and WHRULP 101.5 FM. So let's play Vehicle. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Boom.
Inside my car, I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby, I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman, by now I'm sure you know that I love you, that I need you,
need
you. I want to, got to have you drive. Great God in heaven, you know I love. Show you know that
inside my car. I got pictures, candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, babe, I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman, but now I'm sure you know that I love you, love you. I need you.